One more time this evening, the book of Genesis, chapter number 37. The book of Genesis, chapter number 37. And I feel strongly that this is the message that God wants me to preach tonight. I've never preached a lot of the messages that I have preached here in these 2 weeks. Many of these are new. Never preached them at Bethel, never preached them anywhere else. God just given them to me to preach to you all. And I hope maybe to preach them back home some point in time. But this is what the Lord laid on my heart for tonight, heavily. And I'll ask if you will please stand one more time for the reading of God's word tonight. Book of Genesis chapter 37. I want to look in verse number 2. These are the generations of Jacob. Joseph, being 17 years old, was feeding the flock with his brethren, and the lad was with the sons of Bilhah and with the sons of Zilpah, his father's wives, and Joseph brought unto his father their evil report. Now Israel loved Joseph more than all his children, because he was the son of his old age, and he made him a coat of many colors. And when his brethren saw that their father loved him more than all his brethren, they hated him and could not speak peaceably unto him. And Joseph dreamed a dream, and he told it his brethren, and they hated him yet the more. Verse 9. And he dreamed yet another dream, and told it his brethren, and said, "Behold, I have dreamed a dream more. And behold, the sun and the moon and the 11 stars made obeisance unto me." And he told it to his father and to his brethren. And his father rebuked him and said unto him, "What is this dream that thou hast dreamed? Shall I and thy mother and thy brethren indeed come to bow down ourselves to thee, to the earth?" And his brethren envied him, but his father observed the saying. Now, we know these boys, they're gone out to tend the sheep. They went out to Shechem. And the father says to Joseph, "I want you to go check on the boys. They're down there in Shechem, and see how they're doing." Look at verse 17. He gets there. He can't find them in Shechem. He's looking all over. Now, and the man said, "They are departed hence," verse 17, "for I heard them say, let us go to Dothan." Let me take time out. Dothan means two wells. "Let us go to Dothan." And Joseph went after his brethren and found them in Dothan. And when they saw him afar off, even before he came near to them, they conspired against him to slay him. And they said one to another, "Behold, this dreamer cometh. Come now, therefore, and let us slay him and cast him into some pit. And we will say, some evil beast hath devoured him, and we shall see what will become of his dreams." And Reuben heard it, and he delivered him out of their hands and said, "Let us not kill him." And Reuben said unto them, "Shed no blood, but cast him into this pit that is in the wilderness, and lay no hand upon him, that he might rid him out of their hands to deliver him to his father again." And it came to pass, when Joseph was come unto his brethren, that they stripped Joseph out of his coat of many colors that was on him, and they took him and cast him into a pit. And the pit was empty, there was no water in it. They sat down to eat bread. They lifted up their eyes and looked, and behold, a company of Ishmaelites came from Gilead with their camels bearing spicery and balm and myrrh, going to carry it down to Egypt. And Judah said unto his brethren, "What profit is it if we slay our brother and conceal his blood? Come and let us sell him to the Ishmaelites, and let not our hand be upon him, for he is our brother and our flesh." And his brethren were content. Then there passed by Midianites, merchant men, and they drew and lifted up Joseph out of the pit, and sold Joseph to the Ishmaelites for 20 pieces of silver. And they brought Joseph into Egypt. And Reuben returned unto the pit, and behold, Joseph was not in the pit, and he rent his clothes. And he returned unto his brethren and said, the child is not, and I, whither shall I go? And they took Joseph's coat and killed a kid of the goats and dipped the coat in the blood. And they sent the coat of many colors, and they brought it to their father and said, this have we found. Know now whether it be thy son's coat or no. And he knew it and said, it is my son's coat. An evil beast hath devoured him. Joseph is without doubt rent in pieces. And Jacob rent his clothes, put sackcloth upon his loins, and mourned for his son many days. I want to preach on this thought. There is danger at Dothan, an evil beast. There is danger at Dothan, an evil beast. Lord, tonight, as we gather in your house, we are thrilled, rejoicing in the work of God in our lives and in our midst these 2 weeks. What a blessing it has been each and every night. And Lord, tonight I want to come and preach something. And let me swing from the chandeliers and jump from the steeple. God, that's not what you've laid on our heart. Our heart is burdened tonight to help your people and to warn them of the danger that is at Dothan. Lord, I pray tonight, God, you'd open our eyes and help us to see that which you're warning us about. And I ask your help in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Thank you for standing. You may be seated tonight. Joseph was sent to check on his brethren. They're gone to Dothan. It means two wells. For all I know, they threw him in one of the, maybe one of those wells was empty and they threw him in that pit. I don't know. But when they saw him coming, they said, behold, this dreamer cometh. They took him, threw him in a pit, stripped him of his coat, sold him to the Ishmaelites, the Midianites, they're all one big family, took him off down to Egypt, sold him out down there. It's interesting to me that they took his coat of many colors, and they killed a goat. You remember Jacob the father, the last dealings he had with a goat. His mama killed a goat and put the goat skin on his forearm so he could deceive his daddy. And now it's a goat again that they killed and shed its blood and dipped that coat, Joseph's coat of many colors, that favored coat, and bring it back to Jacob and say, is this your son's coat or not? And Jacob saw it and he said, it is my son's coat. Verse 33, you ought to underline this. An evil beast hath devoured him. Oh yes, it is an evil beast that's devoured him. But not a beast with claws and fangs. Verse 11 says that his brethren envied him. They envied his relationship with the Father. They envied his revelation from God. They envied his rulership over them. Brother Aaron, I was asked to go preach revival. And I went to the church to preach revival. And I was sitting on the front row, and these young ladies, there was, I think, five, was standing around the pulpit to sing, and it was tremendous. Then the moderator said, two of those girls, would y'all stay and sing a duet? And the other three left the platform, and the two sang. And it was wonderful. And the preacher said, go ahead now, preacher. It's your time to preach. And I walked up, and it didn't take me 5 seconds to see those three little girls' mothers, who they were in the congregation that didn't get asked to stay with the other two that was singing a duet. And man, was them mamas cooking mad, and envy had eaten them up. Don't sit here and pretend tonight like it has never happened at Fellowship Baptist Church. Don't sit here and pretend tonight like it has never happened to you. Because it has. Stephen, before he was stoned, was preaching a message just like this. And he said in Acts chapter 7 verse 9, "And the patriarchs, moved with envy, sold Joseph into Egypt, but God was with him." And they stoned him before he really got finished, but good. The first time the word envy is in the Word of God, it is to do with the Philistines. And they were very affluent. They were very blessed. They had many things. And the Bible said that Isaac had possession of flocks and possession of herds and a great store of servants. And the Philistines envied him. In other words, they wanted what Isaac had. Now, most of the time we church people, we interchange the word jealousy and the word envy all the time. But they are not. They are not the same. Jealousy can be used in a positive sense. Hold your place here. But turn to Exodus chapter 34. Preacher Darren, I don't understand how jealousy could ever be used in a positive sense. Well, jealousy is when you don't want someone to take something away from you. Do you know that God is jealous? No, Preacher Darren, God is zealous. Oh yeah, he's zealous, but he's also jealous. In Exodus 34, verse 14. Say amen when you found it. Amen. We're just going to have Bible 101 tonight. I'm just going to try to be calm and just try to teach tonight. "For thou shalt worship no other God. For the Lord, whose name is Jealous, with a capital J, is a jealous God." God is jealous of his glory. He, hear me, it's his glory and his glory alone. And it's not to be shared with any other God, and it's not to be shared with any other person. God is a jealous God, and it's used in a positive sense. But every time you see envy, it's used in a negative sense, because there's always malice in it. Envy is where you want what someone else has, and you begrudge the fact that they have it. Envy begins with empty hands, and it mourns its lack. To be envious is to be in opposition as how God has blessed someone else. Envy is the daughter of pride, the author of murder and revenge, and it is the slime of the soul. Some people spend their whole life wishing they had what somebody else has. They spend their whole lives wishing they were who somebody else was. They spend their whole lives wishing they could do what somebody else does. They never take time to enjoy what God is doing in their life. And they think somehow they've been cheated out of something better. At my house, we have two dogs. We have two because we do not want three. One is named Macy. She's a little puppy dog, a little Shih Tzu dog. She's 14 years old or so. The other is a husky. Why we got a husky? Ask my son. That dog's not saved. It's wicked. I prayed with somebody on the phone today. She howled the whole time. She didn't howl any other time till I got on the phone. I was talking to a preacher today, and what'd she do? She started her barking, her howling, because she wanted to stop me from talking to a man of God. And those two dogs, I love them, but I promise you, they're not just jealous of each other. They are envious of each other. They cannot keep their eyes on their own bowl. Though their bowl is filled with food, they always want what the other one has. And they're constantly bickering and barking and chasing each other around. I'm telling, that's just the way Baptists are. Just like a bunch of old dogs, can't keep your eye on your own bowl, constantly getting envious and jealous. Well, you get my drift. An evil beast has devoured Joseph. Oh, yeah. The evil beast of envy. I have 4 points. Number one, the characterization. Write it down. The characterization of envy. Number two, the cause of envy. Number three, the cruelty of envy. Number four, the conquering of envy. Let me say it again. The characterization of envy. Oh, yes. The cause of envy. The cruelty of envy. And the conquering of envy. Envy in the Bible is no doubt an evil beast. It will cause you to sell out your brothers or your sisters. And it will cause you to contradict what God is doing. Would you turn to the book of James? I could quote this tonight, but I want you to see it in your Bible. It's important that you see the Word of God. This is not just my theology. This is the Word of God I'm declaring tonight. I want you to see this before we get real deep in these points. James chapter 3 and verse 13. Preacher Darren, this is supposed to be revival. You're supposed to be making us happy. I got to make you sad before I can get you to happy. The Bible says, verse 13, who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. Time out. God knows the truth of my heart and of yours. And you may sit tonight and say, well, he ain't talking to me, but I sure hope he's getting it. I sure hope she's getting it because they need it. Lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. Now my mama would tell me and my brother, there's certain neighborhoods I don't want you boys getting into. That's a neighborhood of trouble. There's danger down there. Danger at Dothan. There's danger in that neighborhood. So in this neighborhood of envy, let's read some more scripture. In Romans chapter 1. Preacher Darren, you've turned into too many verses. I won't turn to enough tonight, I'm sure. In Romans chapter number 1, I want to begin reading in verse number 29 and look at the neighborhood where we find envying. Verse 29, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy. What follows it? Murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, Do you see the works of the flesh and what follows envying? Do you see what neighborhood envying is in? And it's in our hearts. And it's in our flesh. Oh, it's not in mine. I got saved. I got right with God. You just told a lie. Well, I am saved. But you just told a lie and said it's not in you. The Bible said we can't know our own heart. It's deceitful. It's desperately wicked above all things. Let's read Galatians. Galatians chapter 5 as you turn there. There was a woman that came to me as I was preaching along the same lines years ago, reading some works of flesh, talking about how I sin every day and come short of the glory of God every day of my life. I have to repent numerous times. She came to me and she said, I'll have you to know that I've not sinned in 13 years. I stepped up the platform to get away from her and she said, what are you doing? I said, you just broke your streak and told a lie right in the church and God's liable to strike you down. She turned and stomped off. She never spoke to me again. I sin every day. Do you? Just admit it. The Bible said in Galatians chapter 5, we're talking about the neighborhood, verse 19. Now the works of the flesh are manifest. Which are these? Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings. Wait, what follows envy? Murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But praise God, we repented of our sins and got right with God. But there are times in our life that these things try to trickle back into our lives once again. The Bible tells us now, back to the book of Genesis, the characterization of envy. I liken it to at least three things. I liken it, first of all, to the subtlety of a serpent. You know what a serpent does? He kills, not necessarily by speed, but by deception. I was watching on TV, and they had one of them shows on that they had snakes. I don't like snakes, Brother Nathan. There's two kinds I don't like. What are they, preacher? Live ones and dead ones. Right. You want to get them out, I'll put you in New Exodus and just show me where to hit it, amen? I don't like snakes. I don't want anything to do with them. It was on TV and it made me shudder. And this people had a snake they thought in their house and they called in an expert. And he went in there digging around, and found a crevice and down in a hole, and they lowered him with a cable. What kind of fool would you have to be to lower yourself by a cable down in there where there's a snake? And he's got a light on his head. What do they call him, Luke? GoPro. Man, he's down there. And sure enough, there's a python. He says, snake. They pulled him out. He went and got five buddies and got his arm around that blessed thing and pulled. It was 21 feet long under these people's house. And they heard him eating a raccoon. Now, I'm pretty sure that a raccoon is faster than a big old 21-foot snake. How would a snake kill that raccoon? Because he laid around and pretended to belong in that environment. Your flesh sits in the environment called the flesh and called the church. There you are. Oh, I'm so saved. I know I'm ready to fly off at any time, but gravity just holds me down at the present. Now, I promise you, friend, that raccoon saw that snake laying there and thought, look at that thing. Well, that's just part of the scenery here. That's just part of the environment. No danger.
And that raccoon just got a little too close, and maybe that snake slowly, deceptively moved himself into position. And just at the right time, he raised his head and he grabbed that raccoon and swallowed him. They said on that show that snake was big enough to have swallowed a child about 2 or 3 years of age. You know, I think that old snake called envy is big enough to swallow somebody 85 years of age, or 45, or 25, or whatever your age just happens to be. You remember that old fable where there was a guy, he was going to be walking up the mountain, and there was a snake laying there. And the snake said, "Take me up on the mountain with you where I can get out in the sun and be warm." The man said, "I'm not picking you up. You're a snake." He said, "I know I'm a snake, but I'm cold. Can you take me to a warmer place?" He said, "I'm not taking you anywhere. I got a problem. If you're talking to a snake, you got a problem. But please pick me up. I promise you I will not bite you. If you'll pick me up, I'll be your friend." And finally, he coaxed the good man into picking the snake up. And he carried him way, 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 way up on the mountain high. He was going to get the message on the mountain while he was there. And he set the snake down on the rock, thinking he'd done his good deed for the day. And about that time, thump, bit him. "Ah! What have you done? You promised me you wouldn't bite me. You promised me you'd be under control. You promised me you'd be my friend." "Oh, yes. But you knew I was a snake when you picked me up." That evil beast called envy is very much alive in your flesh right now. Joseph's daddy, his name was Jacob. He falls in love with a raven-headed, dark-skinned girl by the name of Rachel. He says to her daddy, "I love that girl. I'd do anything. What should I pay? What can I do?" He said, "Serve me 7 years for Rachel." "Oh, la la, I love her so much." 7 years will pass by just like that. And when he went to the marriage altar 7 years later, he got her sister. He was deceived. He said to his new father-in-law, "You've deceived me. I worked 7 years for Rachel and I got Leah. How dare you?" He said, "Well, around here, the way we do things is the older gets married first. If you really want Rachel, serve 7 more years and you can have her." And he served 7 more years. And now we've got 2 sisters married to the same man. The only thing good about that I can see is that he only got 1 mother-in-law. Somebody's about to say amen. I know you are. Amen. Rachel, his true love, was barren. Leah, the one he really didn't love, started bearing his little ones. And envy came into the camp. Leah, in bearing the children, named the first one Reuben, then Simeon, then Levi. And all of their names have something to do with, "Now my husband will love me. Now my husband will be joined unto me." You see, she wanted what Rachel had. Though she's bearing children, she wants the love that Rachel has. Rachel, who has the love of the husband, looks and sees her sister bearing little ones. And she wants what Leah has. "Leah has the ability to bear children, but I am barren." And she said to her husband, "Give me children, else I die." Do you see the envy between those 2 sisters that now spilled over to Bilhah and Zilpah, handmaids? And now there are 4 people involved. I just want to say this and I'll move off this thought. You know, Envy will deceive you. You'll think you got it under control. You'll think it's nowhere around you. But you better be conscious, because it's about 21 feet long and it's laying there dormant in your life right now. And you get to looking, sightseeing, what other people are doing. You see it every day. What other people have, who other people are. And the next thing, if you're not careful, it bites you. And now envy's raised up in your life. And it hinders you from going forward and truthfully having Holy Ghost sent revival. We're talking about, number one, the characterization of envy. It's subtle like a snake. Can't move away from it. It also has strength like a lion. You sit here tonight and you say, "Preacher Darren, this envy thing you're talking about is no big deal. I mean, come on, preacher. I'm not a drunkard. I'm not a drug dealer. I'm not cussed a preacher in the parking lot. Preacher, I'm not a murderer." The Bible says in Proverbs 27, verse 4, "Wrath is cruel and anger is outrageous, but who is able to stand before envy?" You see, envy will destroy friendships, families, and churches. Envy will devour the whole assembly and break up the good work of the Holy Spirit of God. I've seen God doing a great work in a church, doing a great work in a ministry, doing a great work in a revival meeting, and it gets marred by somebody who got to eyeballing a position, eyeballing a possession. Now they've got themselves in trouble. "Oh, Preacher Darren, come on. Get off of it. This is really not that big of a deal." Oh, really? These brothers who had it took their own flesh and blood and stripped him of his coat and threw him down in a pit and ate bread, hearing him beg and plead for his life. And then they deceived their daddy into thinking for years and years that that boy is dead. You sit here and say, "Envy in my life is no big deal. Envy in Fellowship Baptist Church is no big deal. Sure it's there and sure it's dormant." Oh, listen. The Jews took Jesus and arrested him and brought him before the Sanhedrin court. And they voted to take him down to Pilate. And when they brought him to Pilate, they said, "Condemn him. Crucify him." The Bible says in Matthew 27:18 that Pilate knew for envy they delivered him. You think it's no big deal? It's why they crucified Jesus. You think it's no big deal? It's why Jesus died, to forgive you and cleanse you and help you grow from this moment. You better recognize envy. And you better condemn it in your life today. You better see it. Don't you sit here and say, "Preacher, it's no big deal." You need to see it. You need to see it in your life and rebuke it and condemn it and repent of it. Confess it. Get rid of it now. Because it's there. You see, a lion is like envy. It's very strong. You think you can control it and you can corral it? But a lion is the king of the jungle. And man, he'll tear you to shreds. There was a man who went to Africa. He wanted to, but he was a big game hunter. But he decided he wanted to take videos of those lions and bring back home to the States and share it with the world. And he brought his camping supplies and his Jeep. And he set up his camcorder and put the tape in it. And sure enough, there's a pride of lions. And he kind of saunters over towards them. And he says back to the camera, "Hey, y'all, watch. And he goes over towards those lines, and he's trying to harmlessly, slowly, trying to befriend them. And all of a sudden, he disappeared. Nobody knew what happened to him. His family hadn't heard from him. The people he was involved with hadn't heard from him. They went down there and they found there's his Jeep, there's his camping supplies, there's his video camera sitting on the tripod, there's his, but his food, but no man. I mean, there's not even a blood left in that. I mean, they can't even find a blood track. So they packed all his stuff up and sent it back home to the States. And the family was sitting there wondering what's happened to their daddy, wondering what's happened to their husband, wondering what's happened to their grandfather. And one of the kids noticed there was a tape in the video camera. And they said, let's rewind and play it. And there's the picture. Hey, y'all. Watch this. It's all under control. I got it. Slowly, harmlessly, they watched in horror as those lions he tried to befriend and tame jumped on him, attacked him, and tore him, and killed him, and devoured him. And it was all on tape until it ran out. And you sit here tonight and say, oh, preacher, we've had two wonderful weeks of revival. We're ready to go home to glory now. And the worst thing I could do is send you out of this meeting tonight and not address the thing that God's put his finger on in your life. And it is envy. And you say it's no big deal? Okay, well, okay. All right, I see it. I'll admit it. It's there. It's present. Preacher, if you give an invitation and I go down there, they're going to think I'm an envious bum. I'm going to tell you something. There's not one person in this entire building that God is not talking to. And it would be in your best interest to admit to God that you have envy present at times, and you ought to confess it, and you ought to condemn it, and you ought to get rid of it, because like a snake, because strong like a lion, it's going to devour you and ruin you. Your ministry, God's blessing on your life will be taken away. I'm still on point one. I'm hung up. Joseph, where is he? An evil beast has devoured him. Oh, yeah. He was devoured, all right, by the envy of his brothers. It's also got the stamina of a wolf. One time, I used to preach a whole lot. Don't preach as much as I used to in meetings, but I wish I could go even more if God let me. But I never forget going to a service, and man, had a big singing group there. I won't tell you who it was because you'd know. They got their stuff all set up. And I'm sitting over here like the preacher in the corner, kind of minding my own business, thinking what I'm going to be preaching on, praying kind of. And the singers come down there and said, okay, well, how many of you want us to sing tonight, preacher? He said, well, I want y'all to sing three or four, and then we're going to have a prayer, and then I've got so-and-so else here to sing, and they're going to sing three or four. And they said, whoa! So-and-so else here to sing. Well, yeah, they've not gotten here yet, but they're coming. You mean we are not the featured singers for tonight's service? You mean, oh, we're singing last. We're not singing first. We're the featured singers, right? He said, no. You're both joint singers. You're going to sing first, and they're going to sing second. That's what God said. They turned around, got their stuff. They started putting in their bags. And the preacher said, what are y'all doing? What are y'all doing? Well, we're out of here. We'll never be back. Now, I wonder why they left. What got a hold of them and caused them to pack up at a revival before they sang one song for Jesus? I think it was envy. And I thought, Lord, help us, Jesus. What am I going to preach? I wish I'd have had this message. It would have fit. And I've seen a lot of things following my dad around as he took me places to place to try to get around a place where, you know, where the glory comes out of the spout. He tried to get me there. But some of the things I saw, eye-opening. You know, envy has the stamina of a wolf. Oh, Preacher Darren, I've heard preachers preach on jealousy. I'm not preaching on jealousy. Okay, envy. And I got that problem took care of a long time ago. It's amazing how envy will stick its head up anytime, anywhere. And it does not give up easily. Isn't it amazing? Well, so-and-so was asked to sing, and all of a sudden it comes in you. Why didn't I get asked to sing? The other night I was driving down the road, discouraged, and I called Edward's family. Maybe somebody online said, well, why didn't you call me? You could have called me. I'd have sung to you. You see? Envy just springs up out of nowhere. Well, preacher, so-and-so is asked to conduct the meeting, and you're standing here saying, why didn't they ask me? Where'd that come from? We're going to have popcorn preaching. Three preachers today. Oh, why wasn't I one of the three? And God, I'm telling you, preachers, in thee, it's got the stamina of a wolf, and you think you can outrun it. But you'll finally get tired, and it'll run you down. You think about a wolf. Do you realize a deer is much faster than a wolf? A wolf cannot outrun a deer. It will not happen. He just runs the deer to death. His stamina, the stamina of the wolf, overcomes the stamina of the deer. The wolf just stays after it until the deer runs down and gets tired. And he's got him. You sit here tonight and say, oh, I'm good. Not a problem for me. No envy in my life. Hallelujah, preacher dad. Woo! Sick them. Get them. Tell them all about it. It'll never bother me. But it's after you right now. And you're like, no. It'll not get me at Fellowship Baptist Church. No, I'm too quick for that. But give it about 2 weeks. One day when you're discouraged. One day when you're down. One day when you're kicking a can home. You want to yell at the cat and scream at the dog. Your husband's upset. Your wife's upset. The children are screaming. The next thing you know, that old envy thing comes up and says, how come I don't get to preach as much as that preacher? How come I don't get the opportunity to sing my song like some others get to sing their song? How come they ask Preacher Darren to sing tonight? And I've got a much better voice. And Will didn't ask me to sing. And now they're mad at Will. But if I could put Will on the pulpit, you know what he'd say? I don't care. I'm not here to please you. God put it on my heart. But you see, the stamina of the wolf is after you. You know what you need to do? The only way you can outrun, you need to learn to be conditioned. Every time envy rears its head, you need to repent of it. On the spot, do not entertain it. Do not think, I wish I had my cell phone. Do not think about it. Just repent of it. I'll say this. Man, there's been times in my life, stuff sprung up and the devil said, aha, what about that? What about that? And you're about to get jealous. You're about to get envious. You're about to get... And God said, this is what he said. Repent now. Right now. Well, I'm talking to 10 people. Get right about it right now. Confess it to me. Repent of it. You listen, you need to think about how good God's been to you. Did you know tonight you don't even deserve to be saved? And you're worrying about who gets to preach and who gets to sing and who gets to teach and who gets to do this and who gets to do that. And then listen, you know, most I'm not a bit envious of a plumber. I'm not a bit envious tonight of our president. Those are two realms I know nothing about. But you know where I get envious is things that get in my neighborhood. And that's where envy springs from. And it's chasing you down. You need to remind yourself how good God's been to you. You need to start counting the blessings up in your life. You need to start praying for that person you're envious of. will not.
Okay.
F.B. Meyer, a great man of God that I love to read his stuff, was preaching in North Bridge, Massachusetts. Thousands of people came to hear him preach. He preached about two, maybe three full weeks. But by Thursday and Friday nights, the crowd had dwindled way down. He didn't know whether they should even go on or not. And somebody said to him, "Preacher, where's the crowd?" He said, "I don't know." And somebody said, "I'll tell you where he's at, where they're at. G. Campbell Morgan started a meeting on the other side of town, and they've all went over there to hear G. Campbell Morgan." And F.B. Meyer said, "G. Campbell Morgan started a meeting while we're having a meeting. I can't believe it." And God said, "That envious stuff's got to go. You realize I saved you and you didn't deserve it? You realize I called you to preach and you didn't deserve it? You realize how you've been used here for three straight weeks and you didn't deserve it? Now, right now, you need to repent and you need to start praying for G. Campbell Morgan." And he said, "All I know to do was to start praying for the ministry of G. Campbell Morgan. And when I started loving him and praying for him the way I should, when people started coming and tell me people was getting saved like crazy over there, I started rejoicing and saying, 'Woo! I was praying about that, and God got me in on what God was doing over there.'" That's what would happen if you'd repent of it and get right. Well, number two, there's the causes of envy. Number three, there's the cruelty of envy. Number four, there's the conquering of envy. Let me just stop right here and tell you I'm not going to preach all them points. I think I'm done. I want to say this and I'm done. Brother Aaron, I want the hand of God and his power and his presence and his peace on my life. Those brothers envied Joseph. But I wonder, did Joseph ever envy them? When he was in a pit, did he envy them? When he was in Potiphar's house, did he envy them? When he was in a prison cell, did he envy them? When he was raised up in Pharaoh's household, did he envy them? No. It's never recorded that he envied them. Reckon those brothers ever lived in real peace, knowing what they did to their daddy, knowing what they did to their brother. When their daddy said, "Boys, go down there to Egypt, buy us corn." Don't you know they went, "Ta-da! We may see Joseph. The truth may come out about what we've done." I got one more verse of scripture. It's in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. You see, you're never going to have peace wanting to take what somebody else has. You're never going to have peace destroying somebody else. In 1 Corinthians chapter 13, it's a great chapter about love. God is love. Jesus said, "I and the Father, we are one." Jesus is love. Look at verse 4, 1 Corinthians 13. I'm going to quit right here. The Bible says charity or love suffereth long and is kind. Charity or love envieth not. Would it be? I don't think I'd be hurting the scripture to insert the word God, because God is love. Verse 4 again, God suffereth long and is kind. God envieth not. I don't think I'd be hurting the scripture to put the word Jesus in there, because Jesus said, "I and the Father are one." Jesus suffereth long and is kind. Jesus envieth not. Jesus boasteth not himself. Jesus is not puffed up. Jesus doth not behave himself unseemly. Jesus seeks not his own. Jesus is not easily provoked. Jesus thinks no evil. Jesus rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in truth. Jesus bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Jesus never fails. The only way you're going to get victory over this is to repent of it, recognize it, repent of it, call on the name of Jesus right now, and begin to pray for the one you've had envy about, and then rejoice because God took it away, God's helped you with it, and now you're praying for those that you're hurt with. I'm done.
I didn't even get 4 points. I preached one.
Yeah, but you preached an hour and a half.
Stand to your feet. Now somebody come play. And as you do, I just wonder if there might be anybody tonight that would say, Preacher Darren, I thought this. I mean, Preacher Darren, I believe, Preacher Darren, this is lying dormant. This is active. This is, I'll be honest, this whole church ought to head on their face and say, God, help me tonight, because just when I think I've got it conquered, it's going to try to rear its head. Help me to be surrendered to this. There's some folk need to come.